Welcome back, everybody. This is Sight to the Blind. I wanted to check in a day early because I want to try to stop some of you who are young in this truth, beginning in this truth, fresh in this truth, some time to think about your free will and what you choose to do with that free will when it comes to these holidays. Not me, but I've understood that those who are just waking up into this truth have a hard time disconnecting or isolating themselves from their family members, especially around the holidays. And you'll start to rationalize within yourself all day today, all day tomorrow. Should I go over to my parents' house? Should I go spend time with my family? Do I want to be talked about, gossiped about, insulted in the group chat, or excluded from the family group chat? Do I want to go through this? This is something that I know is plaguing your mind, plaguing your ruach. Because sure enough, this matrix, this system, this holiday spirit will get you to think, well, you're not going to be able to get to see your family members, your favorite cousin, your favorite auntie, your favorite uncles. You won't get to see them the way you used to see them when you were younger, when you weren't in a job, when you weren't paying bills, when you weren't in school. They're not going to be here much longer. So go over. It's not going to hurt anybody. You're not opening gifts. You're not walking in saying Merry Christmas, ho, ho, ho. You're not wearing your ugly sweater. You're not decorating your house with a Christmas tree. You're simply just going over to hang out with family and loved ones. I'm telling you, most of you are going to go through this internal battle with yourselves. And you don't have to. Truly, you don't have to. The Most High is watching what you will do. And he's watching how you will react during this holiday season. So you can post all the scriptures you want on your social media. You can post all the blessings and thanks and thanksgiving praises to the Most High Yahuwah. And then run around with your family members during this pagan holiday. He will see you. If you're unfamiliar with Yirmiyahu 10 verses 1 through 5, let me reintroduce it to you, or introduce it to you. Hear the word which Yahuwah speaks unto you, O house of Yasharel. Thus says Yahuwah, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cuts a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen, with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it moves not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto you, O Yahuwah, you are great, and your name is great in might. We know in the book of Yirmiyahu, the Israelites were in Babylonian captivity. This is where we got the Christmas tree from, because Rome adopted it. Matter of fact, Rome stole it. Rome and Greece stole from Babylon and Egypt. It's stolen culture, stolen abominations, stolen destruction. And because you haven't seen Egypt and Babylon being destroyed in your day, don't think that the nations who adopt these principles, these abominations, won't get destroyed either. This is the biggest joke that Satan has on mankind. I'm just going to repackage and move what the Most High has done to those who are wicked to other nations, because I can't stand humanity. Satan wants as many souls as he can to go down into that bottomless pit of Sheol, into hell with him. He's going to take as many as he can, and he knows what the Most High hates. Absolutely knows it. And he knows the Most High is not going to lift his bar for anybody. It says in scripture that the Most High has no respect of persons. So he could care less what you think you're doing it for, that you're doing it for the love of your family. You're doing it for the love of your children or the love of this and that. He don't care. He really don't. And I think people who are fooled in these religions really don't understand what's really going on. How can, in a span of 2,000 years, that's a billion people, you would say, give or take, a billion people per generation, we'll say 100 years. 100 years, there's a new generation. On top of that generation, on top of that generation, till we get to 2025, that truly believe being in a religion is the path to the kingdom. They truly believe this. They're so comfortable with this thought because everybody's doing it. Everybody's comfortable. But in scripture, it says, the righteous are scarcely saved. The righteous are scarcely saved. Yahushua said that heaven was like a treasure hid in the field. He said the gate is narrow and troublesome is the way. How can a billion people 100 years after and then 100 years after find this easily found treasure hid in the field? Easily find this narrow gate and not suffer any troubles for it? Didn't have to really dig for this treasure, but found it. It would make no sense for us to even wake up out of our religions. This entire spiritual awakening wouldn't even make sense. It would be in vain. And I've had these conversations, or I tried to introduce these conversations with my mother, because I've gotten her to give up Halloween. She didn't really care for Halloween anyway. I got her to give up Thanksgiving. She didn't really care for Thanksgiving that much anyway. She cared about the holidays that she grew up with that were ingrained in scripture, which she believed were ingrained in scripture. But let me go back a little bit. I introduced her to a movie called Green Pastures. It's a black and white movie, 100% all black cast. It was directed or produced in 1936 or 1932, somewhere in the 1930s. And they did a summary of how the Most High Yahuwah, which they call Jehovah, Lord, is how he created mankind. And they followed mankind all the way in to Babel, all the way to the, you know, they went through the Bible. And I think they ended on Yahusha. But I showed my mother this. She's like, oh, he's like, it was done so horribly. I thought it was done good. I think you guys should watch it. I'll find it and put it to the the comment caption box of this episode. But I think everybody should watch it. I think it's really eye-opening because they did an awesome job for what they had back in the 1930s. They did an amazing job. And being the spiritual blindness, I think they did an awesome job. But my mom, she grew up around that era. So she's like, oh, they did it so horribly. It's like, knowing what I know now, you know, this was wrong, because obviously they used Jehovah. They said Lord a lot. They kept saying Lord, 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 Lord. But they did as much as they could to modernize the Bible in their time period. And in this midst of this conversation, she sent me a scripture, because we send scriptures to each other every other day for, we call it the word of the day. I've talked about this in previous episodes. And this is something you could do or get yourself into doing with your family members if you want to wake them up. Say, hey, let's do a word of the day with scripture. You find a scripture, I find a scripture, and we'll keep going. So me and my mother have been doing this consistently for about a year and a half, or maybe two. So she sent me, I knew it around this time, she sent me one about Yahushua being born. And I said, the verse that I shared with you guys about Yahushua being born around Roman tax time, and that the shepherds were guarding the flock outside. I said, well, he can't be born in winter if the shepherds were outside guiding the flock. Well, sure enough, it's just what women do. I'm used to it now. Now I'm used to it. I understand it now from all levels now. From dealing with my wife and dealing with my mother, I understand it. I truly do now. Instead of just saying, okay, you're absolutely right. She said, well, maybe they had a fire lit and they got warm around the fire. Okay. They would have said so. I think it would have said so, like, oh, they were nestled around the fire while the shepherds were guarding their flock. I think it would have said that. If they really wanted to show that it wasn't winter time at the time of Yahusha's birth, just to dispel, like I said, the Most High slips in certain things to make us dig deeper to know that what we worship in this world is not what we worship in Scripture. So she came at me with, well, you know, they could have been just around the campfire and stayed warm. All right, I didn't say nothing then. I'm not gonna debate her. One, it's my mother, and one, I know the spiritual blindness that she is leaving up out of them. So I have to show her grace, some softness, some salt, if you will. So then I said, all right, you should read Yirmiyahu 10, verse 1 through 5. So she read it. She said, oh, yeah, they just made a tree an idol. They just made that an idol. But I explained to her that's where Rome got the Christmas tree from. The tree is supposed to symbolize Nimrod. Oh, you know, they just idolized that tree because, you know, they were into idolatry. Yes. And I know if I went to my mother's house right now, there's probably a tree up. I guarantee it's probably a tree up. But this is about this episode last week that I didn't get to say, I want to say now. This is what you deal with, men, when you deal with women. It don't matter what age that you find them in. They are like this. Most of them are all like this. I'm sorry, they're all like this. Regardless of how much scripture they know, how much they read, it don't matter. When it comes push to shove and they have to take accountability, they will first use words, and after words don't work, they'll use emotion. And you better not have a reaction to their words or their emotion, so then you'll get blamed for making them upset because you got upset. This is the game they play. This is why they are the weaker vessel. This is something that you have to fight through. No matter what woman you get, they're all going to do this to you. They're going to test these boundaries with you using words and emotion because they won't use their brawn. They can't use their fists. They won't be physical with you. They know what real authority is when it comes to masculine authority. They think that men are handicapped when it comes to emotion and words because you don't display emotion like they display emotion. So they get you to bring you into this world of emotion and words, and they try to go around you with words. And they know eventually you're tired out because you don't like to waste words. Yahusha didn't like to waste words. So the much words they like to waste, they don't understand that they usually trip themselves up because they go round and round and round in circles with words. And they won't take accountability straight off. You would have to catch them in a net without you saying anything or displaying any emotion in order for them to say, okay, you're right. This is the game you have to play. I wish it wasn't like this, fellas, but it's the game you have to play. It don't matter what age these women come to you with this type of behavior, you have to deal with it. You have to deal with it with your parents. You will have to deal with your aunties, your sisters, your daughters. It don't matter. You eventually have to deal with it. If you have daughters, I would suggest you to start implementing a plan and learning how to get them to speak and not be passive aggressive, not to use many words, and not to display emotion as a way to trap other men or trap people in order to manipulate them into getting what they want. This is something you all have to learn. And I've learned very, very easily, quickly, that this is the game they like to play. So when my wife comes to me with this type of behavior, I don't say anything afterwards. I know she wants to keep going around and around with words. Instead of me engaging with this type of behavior, I make the decision already in my mind based off the words she used. So I know if I say something with logic, and I'm like, why do you, like, for instance, she wants to go to Miami Beach. to stay for one day to go to Miami Beach. And I said, well, what's wrong with Fort Lauderdale Beach? Without even looking at the water, without even testing the water, without even having any basic evidence to show me that something's different with the water in Fort Lauderdale than it is in Miami, she automatically assumed, well, the water in Fort Lauderdale is a little bit topsy-turvy, it's a little bit shaky, and the water in Miami is flat. She literally just said this without any proof. So I already know the decision I'm going to make. I'm going to make the decision based on the facts I know. And it won't be based on my feelings or my emotions. Because when women truly want something, it don't matter what example they used, it's not going to be founded in evidence. It's going to be whatever it came to their minds at whatever time it came to their brains. And it's not going to be based on the information close to the situation. It'd be something they knew 2 months ago, 3 months ago, 4 months ago. Because that's how their brains work. In order for them to get what they want, it'll be a generalizing statement about a time period that we are no longer in. But this is what they do. Sometimes you get frustrated. I get it, fellas. You get frustrated. But this is what I do. I just start bringing it to the Most High Yahuwah. I'd be like, try my mind, try my thoughts. And sure enough, whatever I feel about a situation or about certain behaviors that she exhibits, it comes back up. It comes back up and other people would have to correct her. So if a woman is talking about, for an example, a woman is talking about you can't be fearful, you can't be a victim, you can't be scared, because if you're a victim or you're fearful or you're scared, these things will happen to you and you will cause this and this, this to happen. Without me, if I said it, it'd be like, no, I'm not this, it would be a defense. It would be a defense mechanism I have to keep battling through that I'm not going to battle through because they won't see it coming from the man inside the house that is covering them, providing for them, paying their bills. They're not going to see it that way. If a stranger said it to them, they're easily, like, oh, okay, I'll take this advice. This is why Yahusha said a man's enemies of his own household. Our enemies aren't going to be people who really don't pay attention to what we say. Strangers on the street that could care less about this walk of Yahuwah or don't care that they rather stay in these religions. They're not our enemies. Our enemies are in the household because it's people who should know what we stand for, how we act and move, who we worship. And instead of being under that wing, under that umbrella, you'll be constantly met because of pride and ego and flesh. You'll be constantly met to do battle against these behaviors because it's all they know. It's all they've been knowing in all their previous relationships. They don't never let go of these relationships because whatever worked for them in the previous relationships before you, they will keep doing until they grind you down, which is probably why men die in marriages before the wife does. They grind you down by the same incessive nagging and simple-mindedness that logic could cure a lot of it. But the Most High wants us to go through this because he wants us to understand what it took for him to not destroy the nation of Yashareel, what it took not to destroy all of mankind constantly when they transgressed his Torah willingly and unwillingly. He says he has to blot out our sins just for him to get us to salvation. So we have to blot out our partner's misgivings just to get them to see the promised land, the narrow gate, the love that we have for them. And it's an everyday battle. From sun up to sundown. Now, mind you, there are good days, great days, where they understand your truth, where they take accountability. That's the progress that you see. That's the ease of heart, the ease of ruach that you get to feel when you know they're actually paying attention. But it's all based on your reaction. If you react funny with them, they'll hold that reaction against you for the next 2 or 3 months because that's all they want to remember. So, fellas, it is a mind game, but it's a game that you can win if you learn to control your words and control your emotions. She gets upset with me because she can't read my emotions. I'm like Al Pacino in Godfather. When I make decisions, it's not met with emotion. And she can't read me. This is why she gets upset with me sometimes and struggles to understand me, because my emotions through the time that we argue is literally non-existent. Like I said, it's like the Godfather. She don't know what I'm thinking, and that's how I like it. I can be quiet. I can move and talk a little bit here and there, but she won't be able to readily identify what emotion that I'm in, so she can be able to manipulate what emotional state she should be in, so she can get what she wants. That's the only reason why she can't read my emotions or want to read my emotions. So I stalemate it. And then when everything calms down, I end up coming on top, because then logic eventually sets into her mind. Women have this funny thing where when they know they're wrong and they know they have to take accountability, they become busybodies. When your wife is wrong, when your girl is wrong, your partner is wrong, she just all of a sudden got to go clean. She got to go run errands. She got to go do this. She got to go do that. That's her way of trying to get the accountability and the logic not to seep into her bones. So she tries to relinquish it through means of being busy. But anyway, let me get back to this episode. Luke 14, when it comes to these holidays and family members. Luke 14, verses 26 to 35. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and woman and children and brethren and sisters, yeah, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not take up his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sits not down first and counts the cost? So what he's saying is, do not get into this walk if you're not prepared to count the cost. And that cost could be your mother, your father, your children, your sisters, your brothers, and your woman. Obviously, he's talking to men. Obviously, he's talking to men. If any man come to me, ain't hate not. Now, people get upset at that. Oh, hey, you got to hate your mother and father. What he's saying is, you cannot put your relatives before me. You cannot put your relatives, your family members, whoever's in your household above me or above Yahuwah. That is what he's saying. That means you would have to hate your family for a time period, even if it's these pagan holidays, to say from now to Monday. From now to Monday, you hate your family because they are not walking in truth. They are still blinded by the God of this world. And then once these holidays are over, then you pop back up. But you have to count this cost. You have to count the fact that you're going to be mocked. You have to count the fact that you're going to be gossiped about. You have to count the fact that they will exclude you from the group chat. You have to count the fact they won't save you a plate. You have to count the fact that next Christmas they won't put nothing for you under the tree. You have to count that cost. Whether ye have sufficient to finish it, lest happily after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him. So say that you don't show up this Christmas, but then guilt trips, feeling bad, feeling sorry for yourself, feeling excluded and isolated, you go back the Christmas afterwards. Then they begin to mock you, because all that time you've been posting about scripture, how about you love Yahuwah, how you admonishing and reproaching and correcting those who are walking in sin, and now they know your doctrine and watch you become a hypocrite in your own actions by your own words. And they begin to mock you. Like, oh, I knew this was a phase. He was just in a cult. See, saying this man began to build and was not be able to finish it. So building this house on a rock, you didn't get to finish the foundation because you got afraid of not wanting to be gossiped about, not being able to be invited to the family functions in the future. Or what king going to make war against another king sits not down first and consults whether he be able to with 10,000 to meet him that comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends an ambassage and desires conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill. You know what that's saying? In modern terms, that because you are worthless and worth nothing, you're not fit for the land and you're not fit for the pile of shit. That's what he's saying. Because if the salt is good, but if the salt has lost its savor, how can salt salt itself? How can it season itself? If its purpose on this earth to be seasoned already, what is it used for? What is it used for now? Nothing. It's not fit for the land. It's not fit for food. It's not even fit to season shit. So it would be cast out. Metayahu 10:34-40. Think not that I have come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that takes not his cross and follows after me is not worthy of me. He that finds his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. He that receives you receives me, and he that receives me receives him that sent me. So he's saying that if you give up everything, you will be welcomed into a community that does the same exact thing. So y'all complain and whine about being isolated, not having community, not having church. But look at the assembly that we are building today. Of a bunch of people who are kicked out or thrown out or excluded or isolated from their own family for a time period. And we found each other through this assembly. By receiving Yahusha and he that sent Yahusha, we found each other. There is an assembly for all. As you can see, there is a denomination of Christianity for all. There's a denomination of every religion for all. So it should work the same way with righteousness, wouldn't you think? So you have the ability with your free will, because we know free will isn't truly free because you're not free of consequences. You're not going to be free of the reward that comes with your free will. It all depends on you. Do you show zeal for the Most High Yahuwah? Or you show zeal for the fact that the government has given you a holiday to visit your family? And for you Negroes out there who use the whole, I don't get to see family, but on the holidays, did you know in slave time, in slavery time, that your ancestors used to run away during the holidays because of the lacks of schedule and lacks of guarding the plantation? Security was weakened during the holidays, so slaves would plan their escape. So your family members, who are descendants of these slaves, don't think they're on a plantation, don't think they're in slavery, think they're actually free, that they're given a holiday to see each other based on the government. The foundation of the government is based in Babylonian and Egyptian worship, where any worship that's outside of Yahuwah is through Satan. So right now you're thanking Satan. You might as well just do that. Thank Satan for the ability to see your family during this holiday season, that you don't have to work because of Satan. Y'all think evil is going to come in the name of evil. Evil is going to come in the name of love, charity, hope, and family. That is how evil is moving these days. Evil's not going to come at you wearing red and black, dripping with blood and gore and horror. To trap you, it's going to come with everything you wish it to be. Love, campfire, snow, s'mores, hugs, games, kisses. It comes with everything you hoped it would be. That's what's keeping a lot of people trapped in this plantation, trapped in this hellscape. And the Most High is going to allow you to be a reprobate with it. He's going to allow. Just say he allowed us through waking up. He allowed us to go through this so we could honestly understand what his Ruach was about compared to what this worldly Ruach was about. So you young ones, this is something you would have to deal with. Depends on you if you're truly with Yahuwah or not. Truly, it depends on you. It would be no excuse given to you after this day. You will fight with yourself, curse yourself out, try to distract yourself. But I suggest you either fast or I suggest you pray. I see y'all next time. Good luck.